hearing JJ talk about what happens when things get dark. Don't know if I should be afraid of the tickle monster or not. I probably should. Be afraid, be very afraid. About 19 years ago and 1 month, Nancy and I were here and we were in the process of interviewing for the position here at Covenant. And we had a meeting on Sunday evening up at Stephen Lois Raby's house. Remember that? Yeah, it was actually in the afternoon, and we're in their living room, and gradually more and more people left the room and were in another room until finally somebody asked me a question, and it was only that other person and me, and that person got up and left the room. Do you remember what was going on?
Yeah.
Football game. John Elway was doing something magnificent. But after that afternoon was over, Nancy and I drove down to the springs, and it was a Sunday evening, and back then in particular there was nothing open on Sunday evening in the springs. I mean, we couldn't find a place to eat. Everything was closed. The only place that was not closed was Navajo Hogan. So we had dinner, and then we had to make our way home, and there were no streetlights. And I thought to myself, what kind of a hick town is this? But we got lost. Everything was dark, and we totally got lost. And I thought to myself, as JJ was talking, well, I understand what it is to get lost in the darkness. And I think everybody does. Whether you have a story as a child, and you literally get lost in the dark, or as an adult, you literally get lost in the dark, or we get lost in the darkness of life. It may happen through a divorce. It may happen through a death. It may happen through depression. It may happen through the loss of a job. And despair enters in. It may happen through getting lost in an addiction, alcoholism, or drugs, or sex. Or even you become a workaholic. And you wake up one day and you find that you are lost. And the thing about being lost in the dark is, you can't find your way out. You need somebody to come and turn the light on for you. That's why what JJ described is so pertinent for us today. The text that JJ read, I'd like to read it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. That's what we talked about last week. And then verse 4, life itself was in Him, and this life gives light to everyone. That's what we're going to talk about today. And then next week, the light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it or cannot comprehend it, cannot overtake it. Father, I ask as we explore the meaning of that one verse today, that You would open our eyes to see something that we've never seen before. That You would light up our life with Your life. In Jesus' name, amen. I have very few regrets in my life. One of them is I regret that I am not a musician. I would love to be able to play something, to sing something. I just can't do it. But I love music. My understanding is that great music, at least the music that I like, oftentimes have a series of themes that run throughout the music. And so oftentimes in the overture, what you have is the exploration, or the introduction, I should say, of those themes. And then those themes get explored in greater depth later on. And that's what happens in this part of John's telling of the gospel. The portion that we're looking at in verses 1 through 18 is often called the prologue. It really would be more aptly named the overture. Because what John does is he introduces certain themes. And those themes he comes back to again and again in his telling of the gospel. And a reminder, the gospel is the story of Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, and how through his life, death, resurrection, his ascension, and his coming again, the good news that God has entered the world in order to redeem the world has taken place. And it's good news because the world needs redeemed. It's good news for the world. It's good news for you and me as individuals because we also need redemption. We need someone who will take us by the hand and bring us into life. And that's what Jesus does. And what John does in the telling of his gospel is draw upon the book of Genesis. And so he starts with the words that Genesis starts with, in the beginning. And he intentionally does that so that it would raise in our minds all that takes place in those beginning chapters of Genesis. So even when he talks about here, life itself was in him, and this life gives life to everyone, and the light shines in the darkness, he's drawing upon those opening verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the deep, of the darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that it was good. And then he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And together they made up one day. And then from there, he goes on to say, and God created animals, and God created fish, and God created birds, and God created human beings, and all of them were created in such a way that they would reproduce and fill this earth that God has created and named good. And so now the same thing is happening with Jesus. That Jesus is the Word of God, the speaking of God. The speaking of God is not primarily something that we read on a piece of paper. The speaking of God is personal. God comes in person. The culmination of this is what we're going to look at in a couple of weeks, which is the Word became flesh and lived among us. And so the Word is embodied. And therefore everything about the Word is embodied. Creation is the embodiment of God's desire. And so he brings into being the stuff of life. And human beings are made up of stuff. And it's in that stuff that God comes to live. In Genesis, he breathes into human beings, and human beings become living beings, which has to do with life. And so these two themes of life and light, John brings up here in this verse, he's going to come back to again and again and again. I've said this many times. The word that is used for life here is Zoe. There are two words that could be used. One is bios and the other is Zoe. Bios has to do with physical life, biological life, the existence of stuff. Zoe has to do with the animation of that stuff into something that is eternal, if you will. In fact, oftentimes in the Gospel of John, those two words are put together, eternal and Zoe. The word for eternal is aionios. Strictly speaking, aionios is only applicable to God, because only God in and of himself is aionios. Only he is eternal. And so, whatever life that we have that is eternal comes as a result of God giving it to us as a gift. So all of life is imbued with grace. You and I live because of the grace of God. And we'll live into eternity, both here and now and into the future, only by the grace of God. And what John is saying, as he reflects upon who Jesus is, and I'll repeat what I said 2 weeks ago, I think the question for all of humanity, again and again, one way or another, whether we ask it intentionally or not, is who is Jesus? Who is he? Because if he is who John says he is, then nothing else matters. If he isn't, then it matters not at all. And so John reflects, who is Jesus? Jesus is life and Jesus is light. Now, how does he come to that conclusion? I mean, here's a rabbi, a Palestinian Jew of the first century, with all the limitations that that implies, walking around the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea. And John and his compatriots come to the conclusion that he is life and life itself. And not just that he has life, he is life. Not just that he is the center of creation, he is the one who created. Not just that he has somehow captured light, but that he is light in and of itself. I mean, he's a human being. I guarantee you this, that if you read the gospel accounts, Jesus is not some heavenly being walking 3 inches above the ground everywhere he goes. Everybody recognizes him, that he is a human being just like you and just like me. His feet are firmly planted on the earth. He lives, he breathes, he eats, he drinks, he gets tired, he weeps. He does all that, and yet John is able to say, he is life, and he is light. And that theme of life gets repeated again and again. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Audacious claims. But if true, it tells us something about God and this world, and what God is about in this world. That God has entered the world in such a way to bring us life, to breathe life into us. His life, aionios, to invite us into that kind of life. Not life that is just about duration, but it is about quality. It is about the way we live here and now in the midst of the chaos and darkness that continues to exist. But John says that this life has entered the world in such a way that the light shines. And this life is the light of all human beings. What does light do? Light reveals. We see something that we didn't see before when we have life. One of the programs that I like to watch on television are reruns of Crime Scene Investigation. You ever see that? Anybody ever see that? Nobody? I'm the only one. I'm sorry. Never use an illustration that nobody knows anything about. One of the things they do on that program is when they go to a crime scene, they take flashlights. And they, instead of turning all the lights on, they take flashlights. I always think to myself, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? It makes for good TV. That's why they're doing it. But part of what's going on is they're revealing that which they could not see without light focused in the way a flashlight does. And so God focuses his light on this world and reveals something. In Matthew, Matthew quotes the prophet by saying, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. That light is, in fact, Jesus. Jesus comes into the world and he reveals something. He reveals at least two things. He reveals what God is really like. See, I am firmly convinced that you and I have the capacity to infinitely misunderstand God. And yet Jesus reveals who God is. And so he says to himself, if you want to know what the Father is like, you look at me. And we need to remember that. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Look at the way he interacted with people. Look at who he interacted with. Look at what he said to different people. The way he treated people. The way he treated women. The way he treated children. The way he treated people that we would say have no place here. Outcasts. People who are sinners. People who are morally deficient. And look at how he treated them. And also look at how he treated the religious people. He was less kind. Hypocrisy was something that he couldn't countenance. So that tells us something about God and how God feels about the least and the left. The left out, the left behind, the people who are on the fringes and margins of society. And Jesus moved toward those people, ate with them, fellowshiped with them, invited them into his life. God values reality. He values the fact that we are who we say we are. Because in revealing, he also reveals that which is deficient in us. That which is broken in us. Which is one of the reasons why people don't always run to the light. Sometimes we want to hide who we are. I mean, all of us here. There's no one who doesn't hide at one time or another. And so when given the opportunity to step into the light, we oftentimes will retreat into the darkness. So when Jesus comes and he is the light, we're always given an opportunity. Do we take a step toward him or do we take a step away from him? And it happens, that all of that has nothing to do with our belief system. It has to do with our values. What we actually value. Do we value walking into the light where Jesus is? Or do we value holding on to our own lives and walking away from him? What John is saying is, when we take the step toward Jesus, we step into life. When we walk away from him, we step into darkness. darkness and death. Those are the two directions. There aren't boundaries that keep those things separate and clear. It has to do with relationship. What direction are we facing and what direction are we moving? Are we moving toward the light or away from the light? Are we moving toward life or away from life? Are we moving toward the Word made flesh or away? John begins his gospel telling by talking about life and light. He also ends his telling in John chapter 20. He says, I've written these things down so that you might have life in the Son. And he tells how to have that life. He says, the way to have that life is by believing in Jesus. Now, I need to clarify what that means, because we've perverted the meaning of that. We've somehow made believing in Jesus adopting a certain set of belief system or doctrines that we say, if we say yes to those, that somehow that is believing. That is not what the Bible means by belief. Certainly, there are things that we believe to be true that we give mental assent to and say yes to those things. But more than that, the word that is used here is the word that has to do with believing into something, into someone. The language that I would use is it's trusting in God. It is trusting in Jesus. It is throwing the weight of my life upon Him. We all experience what that is in little ways. We go to a doctor. And if we like the doctor, if we think the doctor is helpful and good and true and all of that, we listen to what the doctor says, and then we throw the weight of our life upon that doctor's prescription for us. And we do what he says. If we don't fully trust the doctor, then we pick and choose. And we say, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that. To throw the weight of our life upon Jesus is to say, Jesus, you light my way. You show me where to go. You show me the steps to take, and I will take them. Which, by the way, in terms of as a congregation, one of the reasons that we as a congregation, through the leadership of this church, have said, after a time of discernment and prayer and asking upon the Lord for guidance, His light has shined, and we've said, as a congregation, at this point in time, we are not leaving the PCUSA. Because God has shown us that this is the path that we are to take. God has shown His light upon this church and saying, regardless of what anybody else is doing, this church is going to remain a faithful witness within the PCUSA and therefore within the world and within this community. That's what it is to throw the weight of your life upon Jesus. To trust Him, that He holds your life in His hands. Whether you're talking about a church or a business or a ministry or a family or an individual. As God shines His light in the person of Jesus on our lives, we follow Him. And following Him by His light leads us into life. Not biological life, not merely existing, not merely surviving. So many people in our world merely exist or survive. And everything about their life is about survival. When you read the scriptures, the people who walk into Ionios, Zoe, eternal life, they are people who are willing to give up their biological life so that they might know the fullness of the light and life of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you'd give us the grace to hear you speak. The grace to follow you when you shine your light. The grace to trust you when other means of support seem to be whittling away, so that we might have eternal life, which is found only in your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.